Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara here is going through the different sections of the Mishnah. We had in the Mishnah numerous permutations, and the Gemara is going to go through each section and ask questions or point out certain things about it. The first one is something that we actually pointed out in the Mishnah itself, which is the Mishnah brings two cases in a row in which they say Ba'al, he did Biyah, and then it gives you the other possibilities of what happened after Biyah. Baal, Vasa Ma'amar. Or Baal, Natan Get. Baal, V'chalatz. And then it says, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. And after that it says, there's nothing after Chalitza. Now before that in the Mishnah, it had given a series of things that related to Chalitza, which is Chalatz Vasa Ma'amar, Chalatz V'Natan Get, Chalatz U'Baal. So for that section of the Mishnah, it makes sense to say, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. The problem is that there was another piece there that talked about bi'ilah, or bi'ah. How come it doesn't say there, ein achar bi'ah klum? It should have said, ein achar bi'ah klum, and then the previous statement should say, ein achar chalitza klum. And that's the Gemara's question over here, which is, chalatz, vasam ma'amar v'natan gedu ba'al, case of chalitza with all of these things afterwards. Nitna nami, ein achar bi'ah klum. That line is missing from the Mishnah. So, abayi v'rovo d'amrei tarvayu, t'nei, ein achar bi'ah klum. So the way that the Gemara reads here is they amend the Mishnah to add in that line, Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum. So that would say that we have both lines in there. You first would have all the things about Chalitza, and then say Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. Then all the things about Baal, and then after that it would say Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum. They add in that phrase into the Mishnah. The problem with that is that the next line in the Gemara is, V'tana Didan. Artana, how come he didn't include it? Now when you say Tnei, it means amend the Mishnah. And if then you say Tana Didan, it implies that they're not amending the Mishnah. They're saying, why didn't our Mishnah include it? So truthfully, the Tosefta says, Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum. And so when they say Tnei, it may not be in this case the normal meaning, which means to amend the Mishnah, but rather it means that we have another version of this, the Tosefta, which does have Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum, and it should have said Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum, Ein Ochanami, it should have said it. V'tana Didan, and then why is it not found in our Mishnah? Hatarati v'malishuka difle. He wanted to mention the thing that releases her to the shulk. That was something that he felt was better to mention. And therefore he mentions Ein Achar Chalitza Klum for both sections of the Mishnah, even though technically one piece should be Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum. He said you'd understand. From Ein Achar Chalitza Klum, you'd understand the rest of it. So that's the way that we explain that the Mishnah, our Mishnah that doesn't have it, why it doesn't have it. But Abai and Rava said Ein Ochanami, that it should have it there, or that's exactly what's implied by the Mishnah, that piece of Ein Achar Bi'ah Klum should be there. Then the next piece of the Mishnah says, Echad Yivama Achat, Echad Shtei Yivamot. So it doesn't matter what we're talking about, one Yivama, or two Yivamot. Matznitan Zilok Ben Azai. Our Mishnah is not like Ben Azai. The Tanya Ben Azai, who we saw 2 days ago on Daf Nun Aleph, we saw Ben Azai, Omer, Yesh Mamar Achar Mamar. There is ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shnei yivamim v'yavama achat. By two yivamim and one yivama, there is ma'amar achar ma'amar. V'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yivamot v'yabam echad. And there is no ma'amar achar ma'amar with two yivamot and one yabam. So he differentiates between which party has more numbers here. He says that when there is a case where you have multiple yivamim, but there's only one Yivama, over there Ma'amar Achamar works because every person was granted a card that allows them to do Ma'amar. So there is Ma'amar Achamar because each Yabam has the card or a ticket to do Ma'amar. On the other hand, when it's the other way around, when it's one Yabam and multiple Yivamot, he only has one card. So if he exercised that card with one of the Yivamot, then it doesn't work with the other Yivamot. If you remember back on Daf Nun Aleph, Rashi brought two girsaot as to Ben Azai's statement. We saw Ben Azai's statement just the opposite, actually. And he said, Lashon Rishon Ikar. The Lashon that we find in the Gemara here is the proper Lashon. Rashi notes it over here again and says, Umistavra Kalishna Kamo. And he says, this is my proof that the first Lashon is right. Dimkein Lovan Lan Leituyi Hachat Kafta Hacha Ela B'Gemara DeSefer LeKaman. Because this Gemara is following the Mishnah, the order of the Mishnah. So if it wanted to bring the other Lashon, which is actually just the reverse, then the question would be from the latter part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah where it reverses it. Here in the Mishnah, the part that we're up to in the Mishnah, it says that Echad Yivama Achat Vechad Shtei Yivamot. It's talking about Matumei Yivamot. So here the Gemara asks the question on multiple Yivamot, which accords with the first Lashon Ben Azai. Had they wanted to ask for multiple Yivamin, they would have asked it later in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah makes that statement later on, but then it's out of order. The fact that the order is here, Rashi says, proves that the first Lashon is right in Ben Azai. There are other Rishonim that say that you don't have to say that, you could be Medayeket, but that's why Rashi says this Lashon, and that's why the Lashon that we find in the Gemara is this way. Now, Ketzad, now we move on to the next line of the Mishnah. It says, Ma'amar l'zu, u'ma'amar l'zu. So here you have the different cases or different scenarios in the Mishnah where it gives you permutations with one Yavam to multiple Yavamot. So one is Mamar Lezu, Mamar Lezu, Tzrichot Shnei Gitim Vechalitza, Mamar Bezu Beget Lezu, Tzrichot Get Vechalitza. You have all these things here. So now, based on that, the Gemara queries and says, Lema Misayele L'Shmuel. Let us say this helps Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Chalatz the Balat Mamar, Lo niftara tzarata. That if he gives chalitza to the balat ma'amar, that doesn't help you out. I mean, it doesn't free the tzara, it doesn't free the co-wife, because that is a reduced chalitza. But the mere fact that you've done ma'amar with this woman, when you do chalitza, it's a chalitza psula. That chalitza psula is only enough to release the woman you're dealing with, not to release her co-wife. On the other hand, the other woman has nothing done with her. So since she has nothing done with her, if you do chalitza with her, that's a chalitza ksheira. That chalitza would be powerful enough to take care of her and her co-wife. So it seems from the Mishnah, and I'll show you how, that the Mishnah is indicating you do mamar with one of them, and you do the chalitza with the other one. And you do the get to release the mamar, and then you do the chalitza with the other co-wife, because that'll be the more powerful chalitza and release both of them. Now as Rashi notes over here, it's talking about the case in the Mishnah which says, Mamar the zoo, Bichalatz the zoo. He did Mamar with one of them, and he did Chalitza with the other one. Why doesn't the Mishnah give the case where he does Mamar with one of them, and Chalitza with the same one? Mamar, Chalitza, and then all you would need is a get to unwind it. How come the Mishnah gives the example that he did Mamar Bizu and Chalitza with the other one? That seems to prove Shmuel's point that the Chalitza is only effective when you do it with the second party, when you do with the other wife that has nothing encumbering her, therefore it's a kosher chalitza and it releases everybody. So that's what the Gemara says here, that it should be misayile lishmuel. Damar Shmuel, chalatz lebalat mamar lo niftara tzarata. Had he done chalitza with the one he did mamar with, that would not release the co-wife. Vid to yufta the Rav Yosef. And in the same vein, it'll be a problem for Rav Yosef. Mitani chaletz. So Rav Yosef, if you remember here, the Gemara doesn't tell you what Rav Yosef is. Most of the Rishonim assume that this Rav Yosef is speaking about Rav Yosef's opinion earlier in the Masechta, that he says, Kan Shana Rabbi, over here Rabbi taught, Lo Yishpoch Adam Mei Boro, a person shouldn't spill out his water, Ve'acher Tzarich Lehem, and someone else needs them. Over here, when he does Ma'amar with one of the women, he's going to give a get to that woman. She's now going to definitely be Psula de Kuna. The question is, now he does Chalitza. If he has an option to do Chalitza with the woman has nothing done with her, versus the woman already has a get, better to do it with the woman who has a get, because she's already psula l'kuna. Why not give her the chalitza, and then the other woman won't be affected? If you give chalitza to the woman who has nothing done with her, now you're going to post-sell both of them the kuna. So now that'll be a problem for Rav Yosef's opinion. So because now Rav Yosef says, don't do that. Don't do chalitza with this other woman. Do the chalitza with the same woman. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Yosef, miktani choletz. It doesn't say choletz, it's not an instruction to do chalitza, but rather chalatz ktani, that he did chalitza. The case in the Mishnah is not a case where it's telling us what to do, it's telling us what happened. Now, what happened, how do we rectify that situation? So when it says, mamar lezu, but chalatz lezu, that's the case. Now, what do we do? So you have to give a get for the mamar, but the Mishnah is not instructing you specifically to do choletz lezu. Go do chalitza with the other one. It's just telling you, this is what happened. Okay, this is what happened. Yes, it happens to be that it will ruin both women, but it happened already. We can't correct that problem. And it won't be actually approved for Shmuel anymore, because it wasn't that it was intentionally done with the other one. Necessarily, it was, that was the case here. And as Tosafot points out over here, he says, Lema Misayile, And to you, to the Rav Yosef. Tosfot says over here, Amamar lezuba chalat lezukai, the same way that Rashi does. And he says, V'im tomar, am I having to you, to the Rav Yosef? Why is it a question on your Rav Yosef? Taha, ein choletz lebalat mamar, mishum de Shmuel. The only reason he's not doing the chalitza to the balat mamar is because of Shmuel's din. If Shmuel and Rav Yosef hold of each other, then Rav Yosef over here won't apply. You know why Rav Yosef doesn't apply over here? Because of Shmuel. The reason he has to do chalitza with the other woman over here is because it won't be effective by doing it with the balat mamar. If he does it with the balat mamar, it still won't free the co-wife. And he'll have to do chalitza with her anyway. So if he has to do chalitza with anyway, Rav Yosef's din doesn't apply here because it's not an option to do chalitza with the woman who is already encumbered with the mamar yet. It won't solve your problem. And therefore you must do chalitza with the other woman. So why is that a question of Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef is only a question when you have a choice to do with either one of them. Here you don't have that choice. So Tosafot says, V'yish lomar, d'hachi kamar. Lema misayle de Shmuel, o tahavi tiyuv to the Rav Yosef. So the way Tosafot reads it, he uses the vav, a vav like you have in the Torah, where the vav sometimes functions as an and, and sometimes the vav functions as an or. So that's how Tosafot solves the problem. It's not such an easy solution, because that's a biblical phenomenon. Which is in Tanakh, sometimes vav means o, and sometimes vav means and. In the Gemara, vav generally does not mean o. In the Mishnah, sometimes it does. In our Mishnah, we actually have vav being o. But not in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't tend to use vav as an o. So that's why it's not such a strong solution. Other Rishonim discuss other possibilities of what Rav Yosef is. Other memorial to Rav Yosef and Shas. The Ramban says in the end that they had a Misora. They had a Misora that Rav Yosef didn't hold of Shmuel. Now, if Rav Yosef doesn't hold of Shmuel, then it's a question on him. Then it's a serious question on him because he has no reason to give chalitza to the second woman if you don't hold of Shmuel. And then why did the Mishnah tell you to do it with the second woman? The answer in the end is, it didn't tell you to do it. That was the case in the end. Okay, so that's that section of the Mishnah. Now we move on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which is get the zoo, the get the zoo. He gives a get to each one of them. Lema misayle l'rabba baravuna. Let's say that this helps Rabbi Bar Huna. Damar Rabbi Bar Huna, chalitza psula, tzrichal zera al kol achim. If you do a chalitza psula, then you have to go to all the brothers. So here, in the Mishnah, you go through different cases, but when you reach the case of get lezuv, the get lezuv, you give a get to each one of them, then the Mishnah says in plural, tzrichot heimenu chalitza. They need from him chalitza. It should have just said, tzricha mimenu chalitza. It should have said, that they need a chalitza, but it should have said in the singular. Why does it say in the plural that they both need a chalitza from him? The fact that it demands that he gives a chalitza to both of them, that is supportive of Rabbi Bar Huna's position, which is, when you have a chalitza psula, you have to go around to everybody. Now, in the case that the Mishnah speaks about here, it's talking about one yabam and two yavamot. That's not the case that Rabbi Bar Huna spoke about. Rabbi Bar Huna's case is a case where there are two yavamim and one yavama. But what he's saying is here, and Rashi notes this as well, which is the case where it comes up and says the same is true by Shnei Yevamim and Yevamachat, that means that whatever we just said in the this part of the Mishnah is also going to be true when you flip it over to two Yevamim and one Yevamah. If that's the case, it says here you need Chalitza from each one of the parties. Why do you need Chalitza from all the parties? That's supportive of Rabba Barav Huna's position that Chalitza Psula, Tzarich Lechazer Kolachim. Gemara says no, my tzrichot, when it uses the word in pro tzrichot, doesn't mean tzrichot, each one of them here needs chalitza. It means that in general you need chalitza. In these situations you need chalitza. It's not speaking specifically or directed at this case, and that's why it writes it in plural. It's saying that it's in plural because in general you need chalitza for these situations. And therefore you can't prove anything from the plurality over here to say that every one of them will require chalitza. It's not necessarily a proof to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Now, the next in the Mishnah says, get lezu, v'chalatz lezu. He gave a get to one of them, and chalitza to another of them. Lema misayile l'shmuel, v'tavyutu yufta, l'rav Yosef. Again, let us say here, it says, get lezu, v'chalatz lezu. So, in this case, you have another case. You had mamar lezu, v'chalatz lezu. Now you have another case, which is get lezu, v'chalatz lezu. Again, in that case, the get lezu, v'chalatz lezu, says that the chalitza is going on the other party. So again, it supports Shmuel, who said before, we mentioned Shmuel, that Shmuel says that you have to go to the one who's not psula to get the chalitza to be effective for both of them. Here going to the other woman to do the chalitza. And again, for Rav Yosef, that's a problem. Why not do chalitza with the woman who's already psula? Why are you going to the other party? So the answer of the Gemara is the same as it was before, which is, miktani choletz, chalatz, kitani. It doesn't say choletz, that is what we want you to do. Rather, it says chalatz, which is what happened. So again, the Gemara gives the same answer that chalatz means this is the case. It's not that we're telling him to do chalitza with the other woman. This is what happened. He did chalitza with the other woman. And again, you would have all the same questions that we had before about the interaction between Shmuel and Rav Yosef's position. You would have to say the same thing again. Right now, the Mishnah continues and says, again, the example of chalatz, v'chalatz, he did chalitza with one of them and chalitza with another, or chalatz, and it gives you all the permutations of chalitza with something, and then it goes on, it gives you all the permutations of ba'al with something again. And the Gemara asks the same question, v'litnei nami einachar bi'aklum. Once again, in our Mishnah, it says, einachar chalitza klum, leaves out einachar bi'aklum. So why does it do that? Why doesn't it mention enachar biaklum? So again, we give the same answer over here, which is Abai Virovo, Da'arme Tarvahu. Abai and Rovo both suggest over here, Tnei, emend the Mishnah to read enachar biaklum, add that into the Mishnah, and then once again, you have a Tana Didan, which presents the problem if they amended the Mishnah, why are we explaining what our Mishnah looks like? So it must be that Tnei here does not mean amend the Mishnah, but rather we have another Tanaic source that has it in it, and don't worry, he meant, he liked that statement better because that releases her to the shuk. And he used that one statement to cover both of the situations of einachar biaklum and einachar chalitza klum, the same answer that we gave above. Then, ben yabam echad shtei yivamot. Then the Mishnah says, doesn't matter if it's one yabam and two yivamot, or it's two yivamin and one yivama. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Damar kula beita belav koyi, that everybody is covered by a lav, it's trichle shminon, dein kiddushin tovsim bechai belavin. That's why you have to tell me the case where it's one yabam dealing with two yivamot. According to Rabbi Yochanan, each person acts on behalf of the entire group. So that means that when one brother acted, he acts on behalf of the other brother. Then the only restriction left on that brother is a lav. The same lav that is on the brother that acted is also on the other brother. And also, yabam echad and shnei yivamot, because when he acts with the first yivama, the co-wife is only a lav to him. So now you have a chiyuve lav left over. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming to teach you, like Rabbi Akiva, that it's not tofes. Mamar afterwards is not tofes b'chiyuve lavin. And that's the chiddush of this piece of the Mishnah, because it teaches you there's only a chiyuve lav, and therefore it teaches you that this Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, the Reish Lakish who says when one person acts, the other brothers then are left with Eshet Ach, then what's the Chiddush in this part? Eshet Ach, Chiyuv Karet, everybody agrees that it's not Tofes in that part. What do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? That's Mekubal according to everybody. Zela Reish Lakish, Tamar Kula Beita B'Karet Kai, Itzriach L'Shemayin, and then Kiddushin Tofsim B'Chai V'Kretot? You have to tell me that Kiddushin are not Tofes B'Chai V'Kretot, that Mamar doesn't work? After one of them acts with Chalitza, or one of them acts with Bi'ila? That's obvious. Everybody holds that. He says, Amar Lecha Reish Lakish, Lutamech, Seifa Diktoni. Okay, he says, okay, you're challenging me from this Mishnah. What about further on in the Mishnah where it says, Baal Vasa Mamar? Right, over here you're talking about Chalitza and then Mamar afterwards. So that's what you're challenging Reish Lakish from. What do you need that for? That's obvious because of the Chiyuv Karet. After Chalitza, the one who goes and does Mamar, he's got a Chiyuv Karet on him. So of course it doesn't work. So now, Reish Lakish responsible says, wait, just go a couple of lines, one more line down in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, you do Bi'ila, and then did Ma'amar. So, Itzriach L'Shmina, and then Kedushim Tosin Be'eshet Ish. If he did Bi'ila first, then he's married to the woman. Then the second brother goes to do Ma'amar, of course it doesn't work, because she's married to this guy already. Ma'amar Kedushim with a woman who's married? That what's the question? So the same question that applies to me, Reish Lakish says, applies to Rabbi Yochanan just one line later in the Mishnah. Ella. Since it talked about chalitza in the context of one yabam and one yivamah, so it also did it in the context of two yivamot and one yabam. And again, since it wrote shtei yivamot yivamachat, tananami shtei yivamim v'yabamachat. So it's all parallel structure. Basically what it's saying is that the Mishnah is all built on parallel structure. We start out with yabam and yivamah. In that six, it gave you all the permutations there. Then it moved on to the next scenario, which is Yabam Echad and Shnei Yivamot. And they give you all the same permutations, not without thinking. It just gives you all the same permutations. And then it goes over to Shnei Yivamin and Yivama Achat and gives you all the permutations again. Basically, what it's saying is, I'm not thinking about whether the case is obvious. I just want it to be parallel structure so it's easier to remember. All these scenarios have all these cases involved, even though in certain scenarios it won't be necessary. From Yochanan, it only won't be necessary in the case of when you have Shnei Yivamim and Yivama Achat, where there's Bi'ilah involved, because then she's already married. Of course, the Mamar doesn't work. For Reish Lakish, he'll agree that it's not meaningful over there, but also in the case where it's the other way around, where you have Yabam Echad and Shnei Yivamot, and he has, one of them does Chalitza, then Mamar with the other one is meaningless. Again, it's all about parallel structure over here, so let's not make too much of all the Diyukim here. Now, even though, as Tosfos points out, earlier in the Mishnah, we already discussed this in yesterday's daf, the Gemara proved that the Mishnah is talking in Rabbi Kiva's Shita. So then, for Rabbi Yochanan, it's basically making a deal that Rabbi Kiva is the author of the Mishnah again. Why do I need that twice? So he says, Afagav the Gvar Shmi'inon El, Tani Gabi Shar Gavne, Kevin to Lav Milta the Pshita. It's not so obvious that the Locha is like Rabbi Kiva, and therefore it says it again to make sure that you got it right the first time, that this is really like Rabbi Kiva. Right, so now the Gemara says, Chalatz, Ve'asa ma'amar ve'natan. Right, so over here, he does chalitza, and then with chalitza, he does all the different things here. Bishlama chalatz ve'asa ma'amar. Since when he did chalitza and then did ma'amar afterwards, it's trich. I would need that. Saka dat chamina, even though after chalitza, what does it matter that he does ma'amar? It's meaningless. Nevertheless, I would have thought, nigzor ma'amar debatar chalitza. I'm going to be gozer when you do ma'amar after chalitza, atu ma'amar dekami chalitza. Because of the scenario in reverse. When Mamar is before Chalitza, then it really causes a problem, because then the Chalitza is a Chalitza psula, and you have to unwind the Mamar. So maybe I would have been gozer in Mamar after Chalitza, I'll do Mamar before Chalitza. Kamash Malon, that I don't need to do that. Tulo Gazrina, that we don't have such a gozerah. Ella, Chalatz v'natan get, lomali. Why do you need to tell me the case of Chalitza, and then he gives a get afterwards? Because, what's the difference? I mean, chalitza and he gave a get, and then he does chalitza. In both those scenarios, you end up with the right answer. So there's no reason to be gozer there. Why do you have to tell me by chalitza and then gave a get that it's in a char chalitza klum? That additional information is not meaningful. So he says, v'letameich ema seifa. So he says, okay, what about the latter case there? Baal v'asa ma'amar. He does bia, and then he does ma'amar. Baal v'natan get. He does bia, and then gives a get. Bishlama baal v'natan get. He does biyan and gives a get, it's trich. I would have thought, salkadat chamina nigzar get the butter bila, atu get the kami bila. I would be gozer, get's not effective after bia, because we're worried about a get before bia. The get before bia will cause a problem, I'll make it into a bila psula, and won't allow him to perform ibum. So the get after bia, now truthfully, the get after bia, he's fully married to her, the get is releasing her. This is a good get, deal right. So, what exactly is meant over here that we would say that the gozer, the get, after bia, atu get, before bia, what do you want him to do at this point? So you might have to tell him to do chalitza, even though midoraita, they're completely divorced. Maybe we're going to ask you to do chalitza in order to make sure that nobody makes the mistake. We gozer, get after bia, atu get before bia, and we'll make him do chalitza. Even though doraita, the get release, we'll make him do it because of the reverse scenario. The Rashba and the Ritva give a slightly different explanation than Rashi about what the Gezerah would be, because in the case where he gives a get up front, and then does the Bi'ilah, she is psula to him le'olam. He can never marry this woman because of the get up front that ruined her. So maybe we'll make a Gezerah that if he does do Bi'ilah first, and then gives her a get, she will come to him asura le'olam. Even though we learned earlier in the Masechta that when you give a get, he can remarry her like a regular wife. Nevertheless, here will be gozer that he can't take her back. It'll be an isur olam after get, so that people know that when you give a get up front, that's also an isur olam, so that the bia that comes afterwards is a bia psula. The Gemara says, that's why I need baal v'natan get, to teach us, kamash malon, that we don't say such a gzerah. But, please tell me, what do you need the other scenario for? Because bishlama baal v'natan get itzrich, sachadat mil mizo get the batar bila to get the kame bila. Kamash malan de lo gazrina. We don't make such a gezerah. Aval baal v'asa ma'amar lomoli. He has bia with this woman, and then does ma'amar with her. What's the question? Baal v'ma'amar? He does kiddushin with his wife? Well, why should that matter? And what you're worried about the reverse? where he does ma'amar and then bia, that's actually yibum kehilchata. So there's nothing to worry about over here. Ela aidi d'tana chalatz v'asa ma'amar, tani nami bal v'asa ma'amar. Again, this idea of parallel structure in the Mishnah. Chalatz v'asa ma'amar, we saw before, it does have a chiddush associated with it. So since it did chalatz and then ma'amar, it also gave you the case of bal v'ma'amar. And v'aidi d'by the mitnei bal v'natan get, we saw that bal and natan get is a chiddush later on, meaning the second piece there, then tana nami chalatz v'natan get, and therefore it also talks about chalatz v'natan get. You're right. In each of these scenarios, one of the cases is not meaningful, but we said it anyway to keep the parallel structure in all the cases again, which is very common in Mishnayot to do this, to keep these parallel structures because you're memorizing Mishnayot. It's much easier to memorize things that have parallel structure than to figure out which one was left out, which one is not left out. That's much harder when you're trying to memorize the Mishnayot. All right, so now the Gemara continues to move through the Mishnah. And then here it says, Bizman Shihi. The last part of the Mishnah, it says, Ein achar chalitza klum, ben betkila, bemsa, ben basof. Va'abila. When it comes to bila, then betkila, ein acharei klum. If it's the first thing, then there's nothing afterward. Bemsa basof, yesh acharei klum. That's the sheet of the Chachamim, that bila is only effective when it's the first thing. And then they have Rabbi Nechemiah's position, which it doesn't matter. Bila and chalitza, ein acharei klum, whether it's first, second, third, doesn't matter where it is in the sequence. Now the Gemara wants to understand. Matznitan, deloki aitana. Our Mishnah is clearly not like this author, or this Tano. Titanya, Abba Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Achat Be'ilah, Achat Chalitza, B'tchila, Ein Acharei Klum. When Chalitza and Be'ilah are in the beginning, then there's nothing after it. Be'emso Basof, Yish Acharei Klum. But both Chalitza and Be'ilah, if they're not in the beginning, then they're not terminating of the process and the things that can happen afterwards. Vishalosh machlokot bedavar. Now you see that there are three different opinions here. Tanakama savar. The Tanakama of our Mishnah thinks. Bia de'ika lemigzar gazrinan. Bia, where we have the reason to give the gzerot, which we saw right after the Mishnah, the Gemara discussed the reason for these gzerot. Chalitza de'leka lemigzar. And we saw why by chalitza we did not need those gzerot. Lo gazrinan. So it's very clear. The Tanakama's position is by bia, where things happen after a bia psula, there's a risk that could cause problems in other scenarios, we were gozer. In the case of chalitza, where we saw there was no risk, because the worst scenarios, he does more chalitzot, or he does the reverse and it ends up working, there was no reason to be gozer. Therefore, chalitza is effective no matter where it falls out in the sequence. Bia is only effective when it falls out first in the sequence. Rabbi Nechemia savar, bia nami like on the migzar. Rabbi Nechemia, and we mentioned this earlier, Tosafot mentioned this within the sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, which is that Rabbi Nechemia says that Bia nami like lemigzar. Even by bia, there's no reason to be gozer like the Tanakama. Dekamar ligzar bia achar get mishum bia achar chalitza. What you're gonna say? Why don't we gozer bia after a get for bia that comes after chalitza? Because bia after chalitza is certainly problematic, because if he did chalitza, that terminates everything here, and then the bia becomes a significant problem. Bia achar get, okay, that's a get psula, and you have a bia psula. But bia achar chalitza creates a much more serious issue. In a case where he gives get the zoo and bia the zoo, if we said that with the second woman, all he needs to do now is give a get to unwind the bia, because the bia was a good bia and consummated the yibum, then what the person's going to think is if he does chalitza with one of them and then bia with the other one, so too the bia over there will be koneh. And bia achar chalitza is meaningless versus bia achar get, which has some meaning. Therefore, we require when you have get the zoo and bia the zoo, to not only do a get, but also chalitza, to show that the bia is psula, so that you know that it's a bia psula, and therefore, by chalitza and bia, you won't make the mistake that bia will be good. That's why when you have a get, the zoo, and bia the zoo, we say, acharea, there's still things going on, to demonstrate the fact that bia is a bia psula. He says, that's not a problem. Kevin de chalitza doraita, mida yode. Everybody knows that chalitza is the end of the line, because it's doraita. And also there you said, Ligzor bia achar ma'amar, mishum bia achar bia. You also said, let's be gozer bia after ma'amar, that it doesn't terminate, because maybe someone will do bia achar bia, where it will be a serious problem, because the first bia will consummate, and the second bia will then be problematic. Came into bia doraita, mida yediai. Chachamim says, people know there's a difference between bia and chalitza, which are functioning doraita, and get and ma'amar, which are functioning on a level derabanan. The whole gzeira of the Chachamim says that you're going to confuse these things. And you're going to say, just like it works on the Rabbanan level, when we're going to say the same thing by the Doraita level. He says, you can't confuse those things. Everybody knows Chalitza is the end. Everybody knows Biyah is the end. So nobody's going to get confused if you do Chalitza or Biyah. No matter where it is in the sequence, they're going to know nothing's going to happen afterwards. And therefore, there's not going to be any extrapolation to other scenarios. On the other hand, when you have any Dirabonon, there is confusion. And there's reason to worry about it because it's all Psula. And you have to worry. The Chachamim disagree and say that people aren't as aware. They think all these four items work as a package with a Yavam and Yavama. And therefore, they're not going to know how to differentiate. And they're going to get confused by the cases of Biachar Chalitza. And also, in the case of Biachar Biach. Because in those cases, it's clear that we're dealing at the right level. Nobody's going to make the mistake of extrapolating the din when Biyah Zachar Ma'amar to Biyah Achar Biyah. Nobody's going to make the mistake when Biyah Zachar gets, they're not going to extrapolate that to Biyah Achar Chalitza. Nobody's going to make that mistake. Baba Yossi ben Hanan Savar Laki Rabbonon. He holds like the Rabbonon, the Gazrei B'Biyah. He holds like the Tanakama who says that we are Gozer by Biyah. The Gazer Chalitza Mishum Biyah. He agrees with the Chachamin, there's no necessity to do it by Chalitza, but he does it Atu. Makes Gzera by Chalitza, because then you might extrapolate that to Biyah. So he says, I put a Gzera in both of them to teach you nothing after the first stage is good, because you might come to think that Biyah after the first stage is problematic, and Biyah after the first stage might lead to another thing. So it's in a sense, a double Gzera, but it's all one big Gzera, saying that Chalitza and Biyah are going to function the same way over here. Okay, with that we end the Perek. Adran Alach, Rabban Gamliel. Okay, now we move on to the next Perek, which talks about the consummation of the Yibum. And we know that the consummation of the Yibum Midoraita is through Biyah. Question is, what type of Biyah suffices to consummate the Yibum? So the Mishnah says, Habal Yivimto, someone who engages with his Yivama, Ben Bishogeg, Ben Bimezid, Ben Beones, Ben Beratzon. Doesn't matter how it happens, whether it's Shogeg, meaning that he really didn't know that it was his Yivama, doesn't know, man, Mezid, he did it intentionally. Ben Beones, whether it happened by accident, which we're going to have to discuss here, what it means, the Gemara will ask the question. Ben Beratzon, or he did it willingly. The question that's always asked is, what's the difference between Ben Beratzon and Ben Bemezid? Is it intentionally Beratzon? So it turns out that in most Mishnayot and Shas, there really is no difference. And it's just a Shigrat HaLashon. They just bring the opposite. Shogeg Mezid, Ones Ratzon. But here in this case, it actually makes a difference. Because here you could be mezid and still not biratzon, which is that you can do it intentionally. He can know that he's having bia with her, but he may not be doing the same mitzvah. By yibum, you can have mezid, which is that you know you're having bia with her. And number two is you know you're doing it the same yivama. So ratzon would be speaking about a case where he's intending to do it the same mitzvah. Mezid is a case where he's doing the bia and he knows he's having bia with her, but he doesn't intend for the mitzvah of yibum. Here in this case, Tosfot points out, you could differentiate that the Ratzon is modifying the first two cases of Mezid and Shogeg, saying that it could be Shogeg and Mezid, and the Ratzon is telling you, did he do it the same mitzvah or he didn't do it the same mitzvah? So in our case, in this mission, it happens to be you could differentiate between Ratzon and Mezid, even though in other places in Shas, it's not so obvious that you could differentiate, and it's just the way that normal Lashon that the Mishnah uses. Vafilu Shogeg v'hi Mezida, even if by him it's unintentional and she is intentional, who mezid? Or he's intentional, v'hi shogeget, and she is unintentional in this. Who anus, v'hi lo anusa, whether he is forced and she is not forced. Again, it really doesn't matter that she's not forced here, just the fact that he is forced is enough. He anusa, v'hu lo anus. She is forced, but he is not forced. None of that matters. In all those scenarios, it is a good consummation of the yibum. Tosfos points out over here, why doesn't it bring the last case, which is Shnehem Anusim, which would mean that they both are Anusim. Why don't we mention that case? Davi Rebuta Tvei. That's even the bigger Chiddush. That they're both forced in the situation. Tosfot says that it just is using the structure of the Mishnah, which is one like this, one like that, one like this, one like that. So that's why it didn't break it down. Inami. It doesn't say Vihi Lo Anusa Elibaratzon. Doesn't mean that when it says she was not forced, mean that she did it willingly. Elihi Lo Anusa Afial Mezidau Shogeget. It means that maybe she also wasn't mekavin the shame mitzvah, and therefore it simulates the case of ones and anusa. Echad ha-mi'areh v'echad ha-gomer. It doesn't matter whether he has a full bi'ah, or mi'areh, he only has a partial penetration of the woman. Kana, it works. V'lo chilig ben bi'ah l'bi'ah. Makes no difference which bi'ah you're speaking about. The way Rashi says it over here, It doesn't make what difference which biyah, whether it's miare and gomer, or whether it's biyah kedarka or biyah shlo kedarka. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi and says the Mishnah already explicitly said echad amere vechad gomer. It means that this lo chilek ben biyah lebiyah means between biyah kedarka and biyah shlo kedarka. V'chein abal achat mikol arayot shebetorah. Same thing if someone comes on one of the arayot in the Torah, o psulot, or any other psula, which is almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekohen hejot. These are illicit relationships. Some of them have a chiyuv karet, some of them have a chiyuv lav. Mamzeret unitina l'Yisrael, whether it's a mamzeret unitina or Yisrael, or a bat Yisrael a mamzer v'natin, or a Jewish woman too, a mamzer v'natin. So it doesn't matter which way we're talking about it, whether the mamzeret or netina is marrying a Jewish man, or a Jewish woman is marrying a mamzer and a teen, pasla. All these cases make her psula de kiuna. V'lo chilek ben biya le biya. Now over here, when it says lo chilek ben biya le biya, that means all of these items. It doesn't matter if it's just me'are, o gomer biya. It doesn't matter if it's biya kedarka, biya shalo kedarka. All of these cause a problem of psula de kiuna. Now, as Rashi notes already, the case of the mamzeret or netina, psula de kiuna, why is that meaningful? Because mamzeret and nitina already psulim the kuna. Mamzeret and nitina already psula the kuna because they're a mamzeret, because they're a nitina. Now that she has bia with a ben Israel, that doesn't change the fact that she's already psula. And obviously we're not talking about pasla, the ben ashan. It doesn't mean that she's now can't go back to eat truma in her father's house, because she's not a bat kohen. If she's a nitina, she's certainly not a bat kohen. If she's a mamzeret, she never ate from the truma of her father's house. So Rashi says, "Lava psula lekuna kai." That's not going to psula kab. To have psula v'kaima, elyinyan ha'ara neka. It's just telling you that the din of ha'ara and bia shalok darka apply to these people equally. That the bia of that type of bia is equally problematic for these individuals. So now the Gemara says, "My afilu." Why does the Mishnah say afilu hu b'shogeg v'mezida? Why does it use the word afilu? So Gemara says, lo mi bayi kamar. It means not only this, but this. Lo mi bayi hu shogeg vehi kamikav na the mitzvah. Not only in a case where he is unintentional and she has intent for the mitzvah. Inami hu mezid vehi mikav na the mitzvah. Or he is intentional and she has intention for mitzvah. Ela afilu hu shogeg vehi mezida. Even in a case where he's a shogeg and she is a mezida, the tarvayu lo mikav na the shem mitzvah. Neither of them have a case or are focused on a mitzvah. And the Bach adds in here, afilo hu shogeg vihi mezida, or hu mezid vihi shkega, that tarvayu lo mikav na l'shem mitzvah. Neither of them have a kavanah l'shem mitzvah, v'lochin kana. So that's what the afilo is. The afilo is, yes, you had the cases already in the Reisha that talk about shogeg and mezid, and each one of them can be one of the parties here, but in that scenario, we thought one of them had intention for a mitzvah. The afilu comes to tell you that even in a case where neither of them had a kavanah l'shem mitzvah, the yibum still goes through. Because it's bia, and that's all that matters. If bia was accomplished here, bia consummates the yibum, no matter what the intentions of either party, and no matter whether they are mekavin l'shem mitzvah. Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya added on to our Mishnah. Afilu shnehem shogegim, shnehem mezidim, shnehem anusim. In the case of both of them being b'shogeg, both of them be mezid, or both of them anusim, in all those cases, it still goes through. So the real chiddush, and this is what Tosfot had asked in our Mishnah, why doesn't it say Shnehem Anusim? Because Rabbi Chiya actually puts that into his Braita. He has Shnehem Anusim there, but he adds in that permutation to our Mishnah in his Braita. So now the Gemara says, Anus dematnitan hechidami. What exactly is the fact that he had Bia under duress? How does that work in our Mishnah? Ilema kisha ansuhu obde kochavimu baleha. If it's a case where non-Jews forced him to have biyah, and he had biyah with her, v'amarova ein ones le'erva. There's no such thing as ones by erva, the fish ein kishui ela ledat. Because a person cannot have an erection unless he intends to have one, meaning that he can't be forced to have an erection. It must be that he participated voluntarily in this act. I'm going to come back and discuss this in a second. El b'yashen, it's a case where he's sleeping. V'amarav Yehuda, yashen lo kana b'yivim tov. A case where he was sleeping, it doesn't work, as Rashi points out here, that Shane love bardati. Someone who's sleeping doesn't have any dot. He's considered to be as if he has no dot. Of course it doesn't work there. Tosafot brings a different reason. It's not that he's not considered to be a bardat, it's just that he doesn't have kavanah for bia. You have to have in the end kavanah for bia, even with shogeg, mezid, onis, he has to have kavanah that he's doing a bia. When he's sleeping, he has no kavanah for bia whatsoever, and that's the problem over here. So Rashi says it's a lack of dat, because someone who's sleeping is not considered to be a bar dat. Tosfot says there's a lack of kavanah lebi'ah over here, and that's what fails by sleeping. So ela benitka. It's a case benitka, as Rashi points out here. So for instance, nitkasher ishto. He already had become excited because of his wife. Venafal min agag, and then he fell off the roof. Benitka bivimto, and he had to fall right onto his yivama. Of course, this case never happened. This is just the Gemara trying to come up with a scenario. It's testing the limits of the halacha. V'amarabo, nofo min agag, v'nitka, chayav ba'arba advarim. In this such a scenario, you fall off the gag, you are chayav in the four things that nezek, tzar, ripuy, and shevet. You're chayav in all these things. Boshet will not be chayav because it wasn't intentional. So you will not be chayav in embarrassment, but you will be chayav for damages, for pain, doctor bills, and unemployment, that you will be chayav. Because we say by individuals, there's no such thing as shogeg. By nezek, echad ha-shogeg, echad ha-mezid, echad ha-nunes, echad ha-ratzon, the same language that we use here in our Mishnah. When you do nezek, you're chayav. Boshet, you will be pater. Ubiyimto, lo kana. By yivama, it doesn't work. So over there, it's not going to work by yivama because he was not mitkavein lebi'ah. And therefore, it doesn't work. Ella, kigon shnitkavein liishto. The case where he had intended for his wife. V'takafto yivimto. And then his yivama grabbed him. Ubala, and then he ended up with her. So that's the case of when he was forced into the situation because he was already excited because of his wife. So therefore, it wasn't an issue of him doing it intentionally. He was already excited. And then she forced him in a situation like that to have bi'ah with her. What's the case? Shnehem anusim debei Rabbi Chiya. Hechidami. What's the case where both parties are forced in the case of Rabbi Chiya? Because over here, the Yivama is an active player. She's not being forced here, she's actually forcing him to have the bi'ah with her. In a case where he was intending to have bi'ah with his wife, in a case where he was grabbed by outside parties, third parties, after he was already excited for his wife, he was grabbed by third parties, and then they forced them together. And they forced them together, that is considered to be ones by both of them. They are both unwilling parties to this here, but other people forced him into this situation. Again, the kishu ledat is not a problem because he had already become excited because of his wife, and therefore he didn't do anything wrong with that stage. There's actually a very important sugya that derives from this. You can see there are two large tosafot over here that are discussing the issue, and that's the case of ansua ubdei kuchavim, where he's being forced or under duress, he is performing the bia over here. Tosafot clarifies over here, in the farish. Can I explain here, Shansu, that the case of Ansu is Sha'aimu alav, that they basically put him under duress or caused him to have fear for his life, lahargo, that they would kill him, him lo yavola, if he does not have bi'ah with her. They offer him a choice. It's your life, or you have bi'ah with this woman. That is not considered to be Ansu. That's not considered to be duress in that case, because over there, that's considered to be ladat. You're making a choice. And in making the choice to have bi'ah with this woman, that is freeing you from the fear of death or the threat that they are placing upon you. But that's considered to be a choice that you make. Then you're governed by the rules that apply to the three cardinal sins of Yehareg v'al Yavur. When are you obligated to give up your life and when you're not obligated to give up your life? Elo kol davar shoseh ma'atzmo, afilu yedei ones, anything you do by yourself, even it's ones pachad mito, even though it's for a fear of death, ledat choshiv. That's considered as if you do it with foreknowledge and premeditation. V'hai shansu avdei kochavim. So what is the case where he's being forced by the avdei kochavim? U'bale dekamar hainu sheviwa alea vidbiku b'yavimto. So Gemara concludes over here, it's here when they take him and they force them physically together, and that's what causes the bia to happen. Or like the case, kamo takfoto yivamto, or the case where his yivama pulls or forces him into that situation. It's not considered to be duress, it's not considered to be ones, where it's against your will, unless you're physically forced into the situation. Any choice you make, even if it's under duress, is not considered to be an ones. Then he discusses the issue on the Tosfot here, the main sugyot are in Yoma and in Sanhedrin, as well as in Psachim of Yehareg ve'al Yavur, says, Elairi, the case here is kusha ovde kochavim at bikim oto al ha'erva, that they press him together with the erva, v'iyev shar lo hishamet, he has no way to slip out, im lo yedesh yehareg, unless he will be killed by slipping out. V'kamarova, t'yesh lo limsor atzmo lehareg, he has to do that, he has to slip out here and give up his life, Im yodea sheiv sharlo im lo yitkasheh. If he knows that there's no way from here to do it unless he will have an erection, then kishul aladat, because that's a voluntary action. V'choshiv ka'osim aseh, and it's as if you did something. So even though they physically pressed you together, the fact that you have a kishui is already classified as a maseh. And you know that have a maseh in cases of gilui areyot, because there is a demand. It's one of the three cardinal sins for yehareg, the al yavur. And therefore, it does not qualify over here for the dispensation of a chai b'ham, that you're allowed to violate a mitzvah because you want to live. Here is one of the cases you have to give up your life. And since you're an active participant, when there's kishui, that's considered as if you are doing the aveira, and therefore you have to give up your life. And as Tosfos goes on to explain here, he is much more extensive in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. He explains that the din of Yehareg v'al Yavur is only when you're an active participant. If you are a passive participant, you do not have to give up your life. Part of the reason is that the logical argument, why is your life worth more than someone else's life? The same argument can be made in reverse, that why is his life worth more than yours? So where you have to take an active stance and you're going to sin, there we say, don't do this because it's not worth the sin, because we don't know whose life is better. But in a case where you're passive, and the example that Tosfot always gives is that they're going to tie you up and throw you on top of someone and that will kill them, that you don't have to resist in that scenario. You don't have to give up your life in that scenario because you're doing nothing actively. You're not sinning. It's all against your will. It's all under duress, but you're taking no action. And so Tosfot says the same thing applies by Arayot. As long as there's no action, you are not chayav to give up your life. If there is action, you must give up your life. Kishui, that's the statement of Rova, is an action, and therefore you must give up your life. Then he moves on to the woman, and he says that, in general, the Gemara says that a woman is karka olam, that she's never an active participant, and therefore, a woman is never demanded to give up her life, and that's why the phrase that is always used is yehareg, v'al yavur, in the male form, because the woman is not demanded to give up her life. There is a girsa in the Gemara, it's a machloket in the Rishonim, whether the girsa should be in Sanhedrin, tehareg v'al yavur, that she should give up her life in that situation. Tosfot over here says it sounds like it only should be yehareg v'al yavur. It's only the male's obligation to give up his life, not the female's obligation. But then he relents a little bit and says maybe even the female can be active. Could be a case where she doesn't act like karka olam, that she is actually an active participant in the biyah, and therefore there could be a demand of tehareg v'al yavur. The Baal HaMor disagrees and says that it's never that way. The woman is never chayevet. She's always karka olam, and then there is never a demand on her to give up her life. Demand is always on the man, not on the woman. Now, Tosfot also does add in the end that even when there is a demand to give up one's life of yehareg v'al yavur, you're still considered to be an ones. You're still considered to be under duress. And therefore, when it comes to punishment, you will not be punished, at least in Beit Din Shalmata. You will not be held accountable, given the death penalty for doing this avera, because it clearly is ones. It's under duress. So even though there's a demand and a mitzvah to say on you to give up your life in those situations, al kiddush Hashem, nevertheless, if you fail to do so and you don't do it, we're not going to punish you. You're still considered to be an ones, but we would never recommend that course of action. The proper course of action is to give up your life. If you don't give up your life, then you will not be punished in Beit Din Shalmata. That'll be an issue for Beit Din Shalmala. But that's why the Gemara here comes up with this crazy case to suggest what the case of ones is. We want to have a case where he's completely inactive. So in order to be completely inactive, number one is the kishui has to be caused by something that's mutar, like his wife, because otherwise the kishui is a maseh. And also has to be a case where he himself is not performing the biyah, because otherwise, again, he's active. So we have to have the nachrim, or the ovdei kochavim, pressing them together physically in order to create that scenario where it is completely ones, completely against his will, where he did nothing and he would have no obligation to give up his life of Yehareg v'al yavur, because it was all done in a passive stance from his perspective. And so here, this Tosafot is a part of the puzzle of the dinim of Yehareg v'al yavur, which again, we've spoken about much more extensively in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, in Psachim, and in Yoma. That's one thing that Tosafot discusses. V'omeri, de'esh le'dakdek mikan, de'en yivama niknet, ele ba'ale b'kishui. One conclusion that Tosafot makes over here is that, which happens to be a machloket rishonim, is whether you need to have an erection in order for the biyah here to count. The Ri says he's medegdeg from here that that is the case, because all the scenarios in the Gemara talk about him having a kishui. Although in the end, Odo Meri, He says, maybe this isn't a proof in general that Bia bin Aver mate, when he does not have a kishui, is still considered to be erva. In other places, it's a machloket in the Gemara as well as a machloket in the Rishonim. But over here, by Yivama, maybe there's a different requirement of hakamat shame. And hakamat shame can only happen if he has kishui and he has shechvat zera. So because of that, maybe here there's an added demand of kishui that's not present in other arayot. So you cannot be medakdek from here that the Gemara feels strongly about which position is right. Gemara says, minahane milay. How do we know this? The Tanur Banan. The Braita says, Yivama yavo aleha mitzvah. So that's the first thing, which is that it's a mitzvah to do yibum over chalitza. We prefer yibum over chalitza. Devar acher, yivama yivola, ben bishogeg, ben bemenizid, ben beinunis, ben beratzon. Yivama yivola, it says, whatever happens. However the bia happens, it's good. Vaha fikte le mitzvah. Did you already use it in the first quote in the Braita to teach you yibum first, not chalitza? Gemara says, the mitzvah, for mitzvah we learn it from another line in the Torah, which is, be'im lo yachpot sa'ish, ha'chafetz yabam. If he doesn't want to do yibum, implying that he should do yibum, but if he doesn't want to do it, then chalitza is the second choice. So they learned it out from there. Bichiyat akra, and therefore yivama v'oleha comes to teach us ben bishogeg, ben bemezid, ben bonis, ben beratzon. So that's what it teaches us over here, that no matter how the bia happens, it consummates the yibum. Okay, we'll stop over here, 13 lines down on the top of Nundalat Amud Aleph.